Sons of the Cross with missionary Ken Wolfgang on the Big Bad Radio Network.
In this perilous time we live in, every Bible has not come, and we wonder just what tomorrow holds. Will our children know the freedom that you and I have known? Or will sin in our country take its hold? It's not because God left us, it's because we refuse to heed the mighty counsel of His word. For His hand sustains the universe, and forever He will reign. He, God,
He has not changed.
For His victory in His word, our praise He does deserve. There is glory in the power of His might. In the midst of the battle, when it seems all hope is gone, He's God.
He has not changed.
Oftentimes He has found me on a face in defeat, crying, Lord, how can I go on? But with hands of love and mercy, He reached out and lifted me. I'm so glad He knows the voice of His call. There's not a valley we can't cross, there's not a mountain we can't climb, if we would learn to wholly lean on Him. For the same hands that made the world
can move
just for me.
He's
God.
He has not changed.
There is victory in His word. Our praise He does deserve. There is glory in the power of His might. In the midst of the battle, when it seems all hope is gone,
He.
He
has not changed.
He's God.
He has not changed.
He's God.
He has not changed.
Oh, and thank you, Lord, that Jesus is God and He has not changed. This is Missionary Wolfgang here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, and wanting to say to you, this here is a program, a Berean-type Christian program, where you are going to get fed the Word of God cover to cover, and you will be fed the truth from God's Word without compromise. Why? Because God's Word has never, ever changed.
Amen. And as we stated, this here is the Six Eyes Radio Network, and I am Missionary Wolfgang, and want to welcome one and all to the Talk with Missionary Wolfgang. Want to welcome my cast, Sister Ruth, who has been faithfully reading our scriptures for a long time now, and Sister Nikhail, working behind the scenes for us with the microphones, been faithful in that. Brother Six, and yes, you are listeners here and abroad who have been listening faithfully. And as we get ready into our topic, as we have now switched topics from the previous one, and all the little ones now who are able to join in with us, want to welcome you too to this new topic of tithing, giving, and yes, offerings, as we're going to discover what God has to say on this new subject, cover to cover, as the Bereans did in the Bible. And we're going to find out who they are today. We're going to find out who the Bereans were. As we discover today, God's word or man's? I think we need to know what that means. What does it mean to be studying God's word, or is it man's word? Are we going to make a stand on which way we were going to stand? So, as we get ready for that, but first, as we always do, we want to open in a word of prayer, asking God's blessing on the program. And right now, we definitely could use that because the area in which I lived, I don't know why, it's somewhere in the phone technical difficulties, but we know that God has control. Lord Jesus, we want to ask you right now that, Lord, you would put your hand upon the systems, the phone systems, Lord Jesus, right here locally where I'm at, because, Lord Jesus, they've been giving us trouble here, these phone systems, and we don't know why, what the technical problems are, but, Lord, you could keep the phone line open. You could keep things working properly so that we don't get cut off. We can have a great program. We've had great programs all along, and, Lord, it's been a long time that we've had great programs, and, Lord, I'm trusting you again tonight for another great program, because this program tonight, Lord Jesus, is valuable. People need to know about taking a stand upon your word and your word alone. Because, Lord, there's so many for thousands of years now who have went away from your word and chosen to follow what man said and traditions of men. And, Lord Jesus, we need to stand upon your word and finally make our stand and say we're going to be bold like the prophets of old, like Elijah of old, who said, I'm not going to compromise. God is God. And I don't care what the crowd says. I don't care what my friends say. I don't care even if it's the king himself. I'm going to look him bold in the eye and say, I've had enough. And I'm going to just stand for what's true. Like John the Baptist. He looked Herod in the eye and says, I don't care. I'm going to preach the truth. Lord Jesus, help us to be bold. Despite what our friends say, what our family say, help us to be bold to stand upon your word. Now, Lord, as we get into this program, Lord Jesus, for that soul nearest hell, help them to stand upon your word, knowing that this day could be their last. And, Lord Jesus, help them reel up the white flag and surrender. We ask you, Lord, that you would just touch their heart. Help them to know that they themselves can ask you as their Lord and Savior, and then help them to either pick up that phone, punch the number one, and let us know of their decision, or to give us an email and just say, I've made that decision, so we could rejoice with them. Lord, we ask all this in your name. Amen. All right, and speaking of email, we've already got some listeners who have already asked about some future topics that we're going to consider and have considered. As future topics, after we get done with this one, we've got future topics coming up. So we ask you to keep and watching for those of you who have been dealing with fear, anxiety, depression, and maybe you know somebody who's dealing with suicidal issues. That's coming up. Those of you who've been may know somebody who's alcoholic, drinking, that kind of thing. That's coming up. We're going to be dealing with that. What does the Bible say about those issues? So, yeah, those are topics coming up, suggested by other listeners. And so we are going to, if you got any suggested ideas of a topic you'd really like to know about, here's where you could write me, feelandtouchking@gmail.com. Once again, that's feel, like you feel something with your fingers, F-E-E-L. Then the letter N as in Nancy, then touch like you're touching something with your hands, T-O-U-C-H, king, like the guy who wears a crown, K-I-N-G, @gmail.com. And in your subject line, say, suggested topic for the Talk with Missionary Wolfgang. And then in your email, just give me your suggested topic. And also at that same email address, if you've accepted Christ, you can also send me your email, and we'll pass it along to everybody so we know of your decision. Now, also, speaking of emails, if you would like to give, speaking of tithing, giving, and offerings, if you'd like to give a gift to the Success Radio Network, to help programs like this stay on the air, I'll tell you how to go about it. Go to paypal.com. That is paypal.com. And when you're on there, enter the email address, 6i6@gmail.com. You spell out the first six. You spell out the word S-I-X. Then you spell out the word eyes, like your two eyes in your head, E-Y-E-S. And then the digit number 6@gmail.com. Then you enter in any amount that the Lord has laid upon your heart, no matter how big or small, is greatly appreciated. And we thank you. Amen. All right. Now that we've covered all the basics, at least for now, there's some other things we'll be mentioning throughout the program. But now, we're going to ask the previous questions homework from last week, and then on and off throughout the program, I'll keep repeating the question for those who are latecomers and that kind of thing. And Nikhil will indicate to me those who are out there, and she could cut in and let me know of anybody wanting to answer the question. And those of you who are already there, you could jump in and answer the question. The question is, are you a regular tither slash or regular tither or giver in your local church, and how are you treated because of it? That's the question. Are you a regular tither or giver, and how are you treated because of it? Now, I'm not asking you how much you give. We're just asking, are you a regular giver in your church, and how are you treated because of it? All righty. And, well, I'm just going to kind of jump off on that question myself as far as I'll start there. Well, I do the best I can. And when I've been at the church, as like the widow's mite, gave what I could when I was in church. And because it wasn't up to their standards, treated like a dog because I was poor. So that's my answer. All right. Now, Ruthie, you want to answer the question for the week, or you want to wait for a bit? Ruthie?
Yeah, I'm here, sweetie. I felt pretty much the same way. In fact, a lot of times people just look down their nose at me because I was poor, and a lot of times they would see that my clothes were poor, too, because I would get them in a clothing bag. And they knew I couldn't give much offering, and they even asked me sometimes, you know, why we don't. I says, well, I don't have a job, and I'm also disabled, so what do you expect me to be doing? You know, just because I was a minister's wife doesn't mean that I had to give big money. They got that idea. They must have thought that. I just felt like I was in bondage.
Amen. All right. If anyone else wants to jump in, but we can also go into a few scriptures. I think that's what we'll do. We'll go into a few scriptures, and then we'll cut in with the same question in a few here.
Go ahead and repeat the question.
Okay, the question was, are you a regular tither and or giver at your local church, and how have you been treated because of it?
Okay. Well, I haven't joined a local church here where I am now. The church I was at before are trying to rebuild, and I've relocated, so I'm not in the same area. But I can say I've never been treated bad because I couldn't give. I never had those issues. If I could give, I gave what I could. And there were times where if I didn't have the money to offer, I served in other ways, you know, and help others. But it does help to understand, you know, the meaning of tithing. Not all churches see people like that. You know, there are churches who make you feel that way. I've heard of churches that even have ATMs in them so that people can pull money out of their accounts, too. to give to the churches. But personally, I've never felt like if I didn't give that people were going to look at me in a shameful manner. And when I could tithe regularly, I did. And when I had received a lump sum of money, I have been able to give to the church. And I used to have this issue where, well, I'm not going to say it's an issue, but I remember when I was a young girl and I asked my grandfather about tithing, and he explained to me, and I said, well, what if the people in the church don't do what they're supposed to with the funds? And he explained to me, he says, well, as long as you are doing as God requires you to do when it comes to tithing, then do your part, but you can't worry about what somebody else does because they have to answer for what they do. And that's true. And it's sad that you guys have experienced that from the churches you've been. And that just says to me that those people weren't truly honoring God with what they were doing. It was more about self and not about teaching God's word and spreading God's love. When Jesus walked through the streets,
amen,
serving and teaching, he didn't have the best of clothing either. But he served based on God's word. He did what God instructed him to do. It wasn't like he was running around in elaborate clothing or had the best shoes or the best transportation. He walked on foot mostly. So anybody that calls themselves judging a person or trying to make them feel bad because they don't have the actual funds to donate are incorrect, and they will be judged according to their works. I pray to God that you guys never experience that again from anybody.
Amen. Now, Amen. The point is, as you were just pointing out, a point that they keep forgetting. Now,
mm-hmm.
most people, if you go tell them, I don't have any place to lay my head,
mm-hmm.
the first thing you're going to think of that person is, you're homeless.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Jesus said out of his own mouth, said, the Son of Man, that's speaking of himself, the Son of Man hath no place to lay his head. He said the birds of the air have nests, the foxes had dens, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath no place to lay his head. In simple terms, he was saying he was a homeless man. He lived as a homeless man. If he did go sleep anywhere, it was off of the generosity of his followers. But he did not own any property per se. So the people that go out there thinking, yeah, Jesus was God in human flesh, I don't deny that. But the fact is, what they have to understand, that Jesus had nothing about him that made him anything special when he walked this earth. The Bible makes that very plain. There was nothing special about him that made him any more different than the average Joe. And doing so, the only thing that made him special was the fact that he was God in the flesh. Other than that, no more different than you or I. And that's where people need to understand that if it wasn't for him being God in the flesh, he wouldn't have been any different from the average homeless man walking the street. And that's why Jesus wanted it to be the way God wanted it to be. He humbled himself even to the point of the cross. He was willing to be a servant. And Jesus himself said, those who want to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven have to be the servant of all. And that's the way it has to be. But too many want to have these big positions and yet have all kinds of money and wealth, etc., but they're forgetting what the edict in the Bible was. If you want to be great, you got to be servant of all. You got to be humble. All right. Well, we're going to hold off on our question. We'll let six possibly jump in later. But we're going to grab a few of our scriptures and get into the Word. And then we'll come back and grab a few extra the folks as they join in. All right. So, as we get ready here, the question is it God's Word or man's? Now, there's a lot of people out there. They try to say, they try to throw up the issue, well, it's an old book. Or, well, it was written in a certain for a certain area or a certain group. Well, they don't have no problem when they have a certain doctrine or teaching. Oh, well, it's for today. But yet on other areas, oh, well, it's, well, it was written for way back when. Wait a minute. Quit talking out of both sides of your mouth. Excuse me. On this program, that's not the way we work this. This book was written for, may have been written 2,000 years ago, but it's for today. All of it. From cover to cover, from where it starts out in the beginning to the last amen and period in Revelation chapter 22. And we're not going to compromise by saying also, oh, well, this is better translated. Let's go over and look in this other version. If you can't read and use one translation and still come up with the same belief or doctrine, if you have to jump around, there's something wrong with your doctrine. What you're trying to do is make get God's word to fit your doctrine. And that's where Jesus talked about the traditions of men. God, people trying to get the Bible to fit them rather than them to fit the Bible. Now, how can we prove this? Take a look at what God's word said about itself. What did God's word say about its own self? Did it say, well, it was an old book? Or that, well, it could change when it wanted to? Did it really say that? Well, let's find out. Now, here's something interesting for us to take a look at. Let's look in John chapter 1. This is the Gospel of John. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. When you got that, Ruthie, say amen.
Amen.
Take us there then.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not.
Okay, now, there's a group out there. As soon as I say this, everybody's going to know who they are. They come to your door, and they'll read that text. If you read it from the King James that we just did, nope, that ain't right. Let me show this verse to you, and they'll say, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was a God. A God. And they'll have a small letter G in their Bible. Trying to emphasize that Jesus is another God. Anybody know who we're talking about?
Jehovah's Witness.
You got that one right. Jehovah's Witnesses. And what they're doing is they try to take their Bible and put it to their doctrine rather than trying to take their doctrine and put it to the Bible. But the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word. Now, who is the Word? The Bible makes it very plain that Jesus is the Word. And the Word was with God. Now, this is in the beginning. And in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Now, Anybody that has a print Bible knows this. That Bible has height, it has width, and it has length. If you take away the length, you have no Bible. If you take away the width, you have no Bible. If you take away the height, you have no Bible. It is a triune basis made up of height, width, and length. Do you ever think about that? Space is made of height, width, and length. Okay, look at your wristwatch. Time. We only can comprehend it in little tiny slices known as time. Minutes, seconds, hours, days, weeks, months, years, and we call it, and then after we got those pieces of time, we catalog them and we call them time. And then you got the past, present, and future. But to God, they're all present at one time. To him, the past is present, and the present is future, and the future is still his present. Now think about that. So to God, everything is right now, okay? Now we can't think in those kind of terms because we got, our brain is like a little grain of sand while his is the universe. I mean, no way we could comprehend his thinking on that. But time has always been present and future. You take away the past, you don't have time. You take away the future, you don't have time. You take away the present, you don't have time. There's always the past, present, and future. Triune. Isn't it interesting how God has things in threes? Very interesting, isn't it? Well, what my point being here is, there was the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, and they were there at the very beginning. And the Son, being the Word, was right there. Now, and it says he was the light, and the light was not, the darkness, which is sin, didn't want to comprehend the light because, obviously, didn't want to comprehend that. We, because we're sinners, we don't want to comprehend that light. We don't want nothing to do with that because our deeds are evil, right from the very beginning. Now, there are people that just don't want to go the way of the Word because of our sins and our wickedness, but we have to make a choice, either God's Word or our ways. And thus, what happens is we say, okay, well, the Bible says this. We have to make a choice. Either study the whole Bible and then say, okay, is this what God said? And if he said such and such, it's either go with God or go with man. Go with God or go with what man has taught for the last 2,000 years. So, if the Word says something, are you going to go with it or not? Okay, now let's take a look in Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 8 and 9. And let's see if God said he the Bible was just only for 2,000 years ago, and, it's not really for today. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 8 and 9. Let's see if that's what the Word said about it. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 8 and 9. You got that, Ruthie?
Amen.
All right, take us there.
Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it's a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein.
Well, that's an old book. It was written for way back in a certain culture. Jesus Christ, the Word, is the same yesterday when it was written 2,000 years ago, today, 2017, and forever, when he comes and raptures us out. No change. He's God. He has not changed. There's victory in his word. Hello? Our theme song. Right there, you got it. He has not changed. So when you got God, okay, where in the Bible did you ever read anything about an airplane? Well, airplanes weren't invented until many years ago. Of course not. But you do read about transportation in the Bible. You read about camels. You read about mules. You read about horses. You read about chariots. So when you read your Bible, all you got to understand is if a particular subject is not there, if, for example, someone is not talking about a car or an airplane, ask yourself, is God talking about transportation in a particular verse, and go with that. It's the idea of what he's talking about. So as we get ready to study tithing, giving, and offerings, ask yourself, who's doing the giving? Who's doing the offering, and what kind of offering it is? What was the purpose in the offering? Rather than saying, okay, well, they had a farm. Forget whether they had a farm. What were they doing with that offering? What was the person who received the offering doing? That's what you need to know. And then you could say, okay, how could we bring that into the modern day to make this a modern book that fits our modern day? And then you'll have your answers. So that's what we're going to discover as we go through this series, and I can guarantee you we're going to be at it a long time. So get out your pad, your pencils, your vocal note takers, whatever you use to take your notes. And if not, just go back in the archives as we go through and get your notes out and get you a big, huge tablet, because we got a lot of scriptures to go through. All right. Now, let's look in the book of Psalms. Now, let's see what David has to say about the Word of God. David says in Psalm 119, verse 105, Psalm 119 and verse 105. Let's see what he has to say. Psalm 119, verse 105. What does he say? Ruth, when you got that, say amen. Psalm 119, 105. David tells us something interesting here. Psalm 119, verse 105. All right. Ruthie, you got that?
All right.
Psalm 119, 105.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Ooh. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. Now, you want to know where to go? You ever ask God for direction? Well, there you got it. Open his word. Open his word, and if you're in darkness as to where to go, get at the light of God's word like a train. They had that big light on the front of it. Well, God's word is just like that. He lights the way for you. Jesus will light the way for you and show you where you got to go. But some, they want to do it their own way. You ain't got a very good light bulb, trust me. Amen. All right. All right, now, before we go on to our next verse, let's see. Six, are you out there? And if you are, let's see if you'll answer the question of the day. All right. We'll pick up here in a sec with our next verse. But six. Are you
available?
Have you been a regular tithe? Okay. Do we got anyone else out there, Nikhil?
No, go ahead and continue with the program, and then we'll check back later on.
All right. We'll do just that then. All right. Well, then, let's go on. Now, what does the Bible say we're supposed to do here? All right. Let's look in Let's look in 2 Timothy 3:16, and let's see what the Bible says, as we said. What does it say about itself? Now, how much of Scripture are we supposed to accept? How much? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. 2 Timothy 3 and 16. 2 Timothy 3, 16. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Ruth, when you get that, say amen. 2 Timothy 3 and 16. Now, some folks don't believe the Word of God is meant to be accepted, but let's see what it says.
All right. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness.
Now, what is that saying to us? Only the parts of the Bible that you agree with? Only those parts you agree with and, well, this other part, well, that's just Old Testament. Does that hold true for what that verse just told us? Uh-uh. Timothy didn't say that. Paul didn't say that to Timothy. He didn't say, well, Timothy, the Old Testament, we're going to push that over here and just chuck it in the trash because, well, we got to only stick with the New Testament. Uh-uh. He said, all Scripture is given by inspiration. That means it's God-breathed. 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 And it's good and profitable. Profitable. Everyone likes a profit. And I don't mean somebody that comes and tells you something in the future. It's profitable to give an increase. It's profitable for instruction in righteousness, for doctrine. You want doctrine? You want to know what God has to say? Right there it is. For doctrine, for instruction in righteousness. And as you continue into that text, it says that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished to all good works. You want to do good works for God? Right there, you got it. Read the Bible. All right? Now, let's take a look at Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. Now, it's not only just all Scripture, but let's narrow it down. Let's narrow it down. Get ready for what Jesus said about the Word. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. How inspired is the Word? Jesus narrows it down for us. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. He's speaking to the devil, and what does he tell the devil about the Bible? Matthew chapter 4, verse 4.
But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.
Not just all Scripture, but right down to every single word. That includes the ins, the ons, the ors, the alls, and yes, right down to the I's, the little letter I, the little letter A. All Scripture. All, A-L-L. So God, when he wrote the book, he didn't stutter, dear listener. He didn't stutter. So when we go opening up our Bible, he didn't expect us to say, well, there's a better meaning. I think there's a better meaning. Let me go over here and get the NIV or the ASV, RSV, NKJV, or whatever. Living Bible or whatever. No. If you can understand Romeo, Romeo, wherefore art thou Romeo, you can understand this book. So, excuse me, but you can understand this one. It's just an excuse. And what's even more interesting, those who are textual critics have found that the King James 1611, the one we're using on this program, is written in a sixth grade English level, while Bibles like the NIV, ASV, RSV, Living Bible, and so on, those are all written at a 12th grade level, if not higher. So when people use that argument of, well, the King James is so hard to understand, they're full of malarkey. Okay? So, Jesus said every word. Even a little kid understands that, every word. Every word. That's pretty plain. All scripture, every word. That's pretty plain. Now, but did you know God even narrowed it down more than just to every word? I know you're saying, what? Okay, dear listener, get ready. Get ready for a real shock. Jesus even narrowed it down to more than just every word. You know what God inspired? Let me show you. Matthew chapter 5. Now let's take a look in Matthew chapter 5, starting at verse 17, and let's go to verse 20. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17 to verse 20. Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 through verse 20. Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 through verse 20.
All right.
All right, Ruthie, take us there.
Think not that I am come to destroy the law, the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Well, verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men, so he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no wise, or no case, enter into the kingdom of heaven.
Wow. This is more than just every word. You know what he's talking about? Every jot, every tittle? The jots are those little commas and those little marks that are above, like the letters for pronouncing people's names. That you look in the Old Testament, you find that. The tittle is like your periods. So, yes, right down to the commas and the periods are inspired by God. God breathed. So, yes, you could call it mechanical dictation if you want to, but I believe every last character in that Bible of the 1611 is God breathed. Now, there are some out there that want to say, well, I find this translation reads better. Well, you go believe that all you want. I find this translation reads quite easy, thank you very much. And it's God breathed. And there's nobody going to shake me on this. This is God's word. Now, what happens, and what does God say about when you mess with his word? What does God say about messing with his word? Now, everybody's familiar with the one passage I'm about to bring up, but they're not too familiar with the other two. God has a penalty. God has a penalty, and he says not to mess with his word. Do you know that? Picture it this way. I want you to picture it this way. Can you imagine going up to Jesus because you don't like the color of his eyes and plucking out his eyeballs? Ah, Jesus, I don't think you need these. I don't think they're appropriate. Oh, Jesus, I don't like the shape of your ears. Let me rip them off. Or I don't like your arms. They're too a little bit too long or a little too short. I'm going to take them off. Well, when you start fiddling with Scripture, and you take away, or, oh, well, Jesus, I don't like your fingernails, so I'm going to add some fake fingernails. So you add to Jesus, when you add to his word, remember, he is the word. We just read that, John 1:1, John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. Now remember that. So when you add to the word, you're adding to Jesus. When you take away from the word, you're taking away from Jesus. Like I said, it's like taking out his eyeballs, adding to his fingernails, cutting his hair, or adding to his hair. Okay? That's literally what you're doing. Literally. Spiritual, literal sense, that's exactly what you're doing because he is the word. Now, what does he say about adding or taking away from his word? Well, let's take a look at Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 32. What does he say about this? Let's see how serious a matter this is. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 32. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 32. And take a note of where you find this in the Bible. This is right near the beginning of the book. Right near the beginning of your Bible, just about. This is the fifth book of the Pentateuch, the five books of Moses. So it's right near the beginning of your Bible. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 32. Deuteronomy 12 and verse 32. All right, you got that, Ruthie?
Yeah, amen.
All right, take us there.
What things soever I command you, observe to do it. Thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish from it.
Wow. He says, when I give you a commandment, you don't, and this is God talking, don't add or take away. Diminish, don't take away. Now, we're only familiar with the one passage. But here it is, same thing, at the very beginning of the Bible, very beginning. Now, most people, if you take your Bible and it's totally closed and you just flap it open, 90% of the time, where will it fall open? Book of Psalms. Well, what's the book right after Psalms? Proverbs. Now, isn't it interesting? Right at the beginning, you find admonition, don't add or subtract. Now, let's look at what it says in the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs, chapter 30 and verse 6. Proverbs, chapter 30, verse 6. Proverbs, chapter 30, verse 6. And Ruth, when you get that, let's see what it says. Okay, Proverbs, chapter 30 and verse 6. Ruthie?
Yeah, I'm almost there.
All right.
There at 30, verse 6. Okay. Just turning another page. Okay. There we go. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar.
Ouch. Okay. When you start adding to God's word, what are you doing? You're being found a liar. Liar. That's not very good. Now, you notice, beginning of the book, don't add or take away. Why? Because he's the one who's going to do the adding, and he doesn't want you to take away. Middle of the book, don't add. Why? Because he's going to be the only one doing the adding. But, now for the most familiar one. Revelation chapter 22. Now, you notice, one at the very beginning, one in the dead center, and one at the very end, Revelation chapter 22, very last chapter of the Bible, Revelation chapter 22, verses 18 and 19. Revelation chapter 22, verses 18 and 19. And what do they say?
For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book.
Ouch. Do you catch the consequences? Do you catch the consequences of what God says is going to happen to those who add or take away? It says if you add his word, like adding fake fingernails to Jesus, He said he's going to add plagues to you. Hello, listeners. If you're a preacher out there, you're a professor out there, and you've been adding to God's word, you got plagues coming. You ever wonder why there's plagues and sickness in this land? Well, there it is. It's right there. Why you've been adding to the word. Then, on the other hand, he says, if you take away, he says he's going to take your name out of the book of life. Well, it's obvious why he's going to do that. Because you never really accepted Christ in the first place. So why would you have your name in the book of life in the first place? And why would he want your name in there? Because you didn't accept him. You didn't accept his word, so you didn't accept him. You're not accepting him as the word. So, when you take away from God's word, you're taking away from Jesus. And he's basically saying, well, you don't want nothing to do with me. As it said in Matthew, he says, I never knew you. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity.
Wow.
Yeah. Can you imagine, like I said, Six, can you imagine walking up to Jesus, plucking out his eyeballs? Well, that's what they're doing when they take away from his word. All right, Six, now it's your turn. The question from last week, the question of the day, are you a regular tither slash giver? You don't have to give what you give. Just are you a regular tither slash giver at your church? And if so, how you been treated?
Not at the traditional brick and mortar, no.
Okay.
No.
Well, even if it was a past church, you could use a past church if you want to use it as an example.
I have given to TV evangelists.
Okay.
Yeah. Their message is good. I follow a couple of TV evangelists. Good message, but what I find out with the particular church in my town, it's kind of like high pressure sales. I mean, you got Sister Swagmire who has just a box of bacon, a couple pieces of bread, and maybe a few pieces of meat in her refrigerator. Yet she goes to church and gives her last. Then when she gets home, she has no food. Either she's not going to have no food, or she's going to give her last and not have lights. And that's not no way of existence. You know, then, you know, and not all churches, but the ones that I know of in here in this town, when you need help, they don't come to your rescue to help you. They have the building fund. They have everything that helps the church. But if one is truly in need, oftentimes they're overlooked. And this is where I live. I can't speak for everywhere else. So it's like the higher your W-2 is, you're up front with the pastor. The farther or the less your W-2, you're in the parking lot. So, you know, it's kind of iffy.
All right. Okay. Now, Nikhil, do we have any other listeners at the present time that we haven't got to the question with them yet?
No one's on the line.
All right. Well then, now let's now go from. Now we've already seen that God's word has never changed. We also seen that you don't fool with God's word because he said all of it was inspired right down to the commas, the periods, everything. And he said don't fool with it because you mess with it, you've got some serious consequences coming. But now, what does he say we're supposed to do with that word? What are we supposed to do with it? Let it sit on the shelf, and as Kitty Wells sang years ago, let dust be on the Bible, dust on the holy. Is that what we're supposed to do? Uh-uh. Let's see what God said we're supposed to do. Let's look in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 15. 2 Timothy 2 and 15, Ruthie. And when you get that, let us know by saying amen. All right.
I'm working on it.
All right.
Almost there.
Amen.
Yeah, 2 Timothy 2.
And 15.
All right, there we go. Okay. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
Now, hello, that's what we're trying to do here. That's what we're trying to do here. We're trying to study. Get out. I mean, when you went to school, you went to school. In order to get a passing grade, what'd you have to do? You had to study. You didn't sit there and, well, that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to, we do that every Sunday at 12 noon Eastern, 9 Pacific. At Wednesday nights, we do that at 7 o'clock. We do that, we're studying by reading along with Alexander Scorby, and then we do the trivia and the Bloodhound of Scripture. We study by doing those things. It's our version of studying. And then, of course, we have Pastor Barnett, and we have a little commentary and that kind of thing. We are studying the Word and moving along. We're already in the Second Chronicles. So those of you that are listening, we ask you to join us on Sunday at 12 noon and at 7 o'clock each Wednesday evening to study with us, because the Word says to study. And then, of course, join us every Saturday right here on the Talk with Missionary Wolfgang program right here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. And once again, those of you who would like to keep these kind of programs on the air, once again, go to paypal.com if you're capable and able. Go to paypal.com, enter in the email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That is, you spell the word out, the first word, 6, you spell it out, S-I-X. Then you spell out the word eyes, like the two in your head, E-Y-E-S, the digit number 6@gmail.com. Then any amount that you put in the box there that you want to offer, no matter how big or small, is greatly appreciated. Amen. All right. So, he tells us in his word to study, to show yourself approved unto God, a workman. That's what you are. Sorry, for those who want to think they're something special. You know how some people think they're something special in the church? Some of these preachers get themselves such a big head that they can't even get their hat on. Uh-uh. You're a workman, buddy. Get your head out of the cloud. You're a workman. You're no better than the guy on the you're a workman. Don't get your head in the cloud. You're a workman. And you know what a workman is? He's a servant. Dear listener, I want you to know, I know my place. I'm a servant. I'm a servant to Brother Six. I'm a servant to Sister Nikhail. I'm a servant to Ruth. I'm a servant to Emily. I am a nothing more than just a servant. So, dear listeners out there, no matter who you are, I am just a servant. I'm a workman. That's all I am. I am not anything special. Amen. All right, now let's look over 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 20. Now, this is what was written in my first Bible when I was in college.
This is Randy.
All right.
And I have a church. I want to know what you mean about these pastors mixing up the word with God. I have a church myself. Well, you want to explain yourself.
About them mixing up the word? Well, there's a lot of them that do that. There's some out there. They'll take the Bible, okay? They'll start out with the King James, and then they'll go over and they'll jump over to the Living Bible, okay? And they'll say, well, you know, I find this has a little easier understanding. But they don't realize that the Living Bible is actually written in about 8th to 9th grade English, while the King James, the 1611 that we're using here tonight, is written in 6th grade. Now, if you get someone that can only read 6th grade English, and you hand them a Living Bible, they're not going to understand that because it's not written in their reading level. I mean, you hand a sixth grader in sixth grade an eighth grade English book, they're not going to understand it. Well, that's what these preachers are doing. They're trying to get people, and they use the excuse,
I
well,
got all my family sitting
the Living Bible is easier to understand.
Out,
no, it's not.
They're walking out on me. They're walking out. Because you said that pastors use and twist the word, now my family's walking out. I got a service tomorrow, and I don't know how many people are going to be in my congregation. Thank you.
Well, hey, if they walk out, it's only because if you're guilty of doing that, that's, hey, I didn't say anybody's name, now did I? If you're guilty of that, then you need to ask God what you're doing. I didn't say that. I just said,
brother,
anybody who does that.
Then where's the owner? Where's the
I'm
owner
a servant.
Of the station? I don't like, where's the owner of this station at? Hello? What's going on, Ken?
This guy thinks that he thinks that I'm sitting there accusing him. I didn't accuse nobody. Anybody listen to the archives of that. I never accused. I said pastors in general that take and use different versions of the Bible. I didn't say any specific name. Amen. And if they want to, if any listener, any preacher thinks that if that's what they've been doing, well, then that's between them and God. Amen. I'm not accusing nobody specifically. And doing so, I mean, there's lots of preachers that do that. There's hundreds of thousands of them that have been doing that across this country and around the world. They do that because they figure it's easier to do by going to other versions of the Bible. I know Nigerian pastors who do this. So I'm not saying anybody in specific, okay? And I didn't say any names. So if you're guilty, if the shoe fits, as they say, wear it. But I didn't say any names. Now, as we were just saying, in the first Bible that I received when I was in college, the Bible was handed to me by another fellow. It was one of my professors. And he gave it to me as a present as we were studying. And in the front of it, he gave this verse to remind me of what the word was about. And it's a good one for all of us to think about because it's very true. It's what we all should be doing with the word of God. It was an admonition of Paul to Timothy. So let's look in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 20. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 20. 1 Timothy chapter verse 20. Timothy chapter 6 verse 20. All right, Ruth. Amen.
All right, 1 Timothy, darling.
Chapter 6 and verse 20.
I'm going to write this nation.
Okay, 1 Timothy 6:20.
Yes, Ruthie.
So make sure you were hearing me. O Timothy, keep that which was committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called.
Yeah, there we go, Darwin. Darwin and your evolutionary nonsense. Now, see, there's a name I will put up. We know that he's got false science falsely so called. That's false science. Now, none of us are Darwin because he's dead long ago, okay? So he ain't even here. He ain't even listening. Now, the fact is, Paul said to Timothy, keep that, speaking about the Bible, which is committed to your trust. He's saying, keep the word of God. Don't worry about what man has to say. You got to make a choice. It's either got to be God's way, God's word, or it's got to be man's word or man's way. There's lots of people out there, and it's not just preachers too. There's people in the pews. They say, oh, well, we've been doing it this way for hundreds of years. This is what I believe. Well, you may have believed it for hundreds of years. So didn't the people that followed the Pharisees. Oh, well, Jesus, why don't your disciples wash their hands? Follow the traditions of the elders. And Jesus said, and why do you break the commandments of God with your traditions? See, what we have to look at is ask yourself the question, which one's more important, when God commands something or when man gives a tradition? For example, if me and my twin, which I don't really have a twin, but let's say I had a twin brother, we walk into our local church wearing exactly the same kind of suit, right down to the label, same color tie, same color shirt, same color suit, same color pants, same kind of shoes, right down to the shoelaces. We got them tied exactly the same. Got our same kind of tie clip in the same exact position, right down to our pinky rings is the same exact everything. We got our hair brushed exactly the same. Question. Now, if he's standing on one side of the church and I'm standing on the other, and me and him have just got done having an argument, and we're mad at each other, are we in unity? Absolutely not. So it doesn't mean beans just because we're wearing the same colors. No, we're not. Just because we're wearing the same colors and everything doesn't mean that it don't represent unity. Unity is in the heart. Man looketh on the outward appearance. God looks upon the heart. And that's why when Paul was talking about in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, when he was talking about the Lord's Supper, he said, examine yourselves. He was saying, basically, before you take of the Lord's, before you partake from the Lord's table, you need to be making sure that if you're going to be unified, it has to be in the heart, not by what you wear. And there are churches, notice I say this, churches, plural, that have this thing about unity that say you got to have certain colors of clothing. Sometimes they say you're in unity because you walk a certain way in the building, or whatever. Traditions of men. But none of that is going to get you in when your name is called. Jesus said, John 14:6, I am the singular way, the singular truth, and the singular life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Singular. There's only one way. Jesus said, John chapter 10, he was the doorway. Anybody who comes up any other way is a thief and a robber. And everybody knows that if someone ain't invited through their front door, you'd be calling a cop. Exactly. So, Timothy, Paul was telling Timothy, you better keep what you've been, what's been committed to your trust, and that is the Word of God. Keep it and watch it. And make sure that you don't let loose of it. Because there's even these people that call themselves scientists that are going to tell a bunch of nonsense like Darwin did and try to fake off that, well, we came from this little speck of all this matter that blew up, kaboom, and then all of a sudden, well, by chance, and then by chance, and by chance, and then all of a sudden it was this muddy little pool, and the next thing you know, all these pieces of DNA came together, and the next thing you know, it crawled out of the soup, and then the next thing you know, it was swinging in the trees, and its tail fell off, and it went to Baylor University, and it got a degree. And that's what was called man. Excuse me, that ain't what the Bible said. Amen. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Excuse me, but that's the way it was. Amen. All right, now, here's what we need to be. Here's what we need to be. Acts chapter 17. We need to be, as this kind of program is, like the Berean Christians. This is a Berean-type Christian program, which means, I'm not saying we are Bereans, we are doing like the Bereans do. We're searching the scriptures daily, cover to cover, top to bottom, from the first letter I in the beginning of Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, to the last period in Revelation chapter 22, right at the end of the Amen. We want to know what God's word has to say about any subject, and we're not leaving any stone unturned. So the book of Acts chapter 17, 1 through 14, Acts chapter 17, verses 1 through 14, Acts chapter 17, verses 1 through 14, Acts chapter 17, verses 1 through 14. Now, let's see who the Bereans were and why they were commended by Paul. Acts chapter 17, verses 1 through 14.
Okay. Now, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. And some of them believed, and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks, a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, "These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason hath received, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus." They troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And when they had taken security of Jason and of the other, they let them go. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who, coming thither, went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the Scriptures daily, whether these things were so. Therefore many of them believed, also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men not a few. But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people. And then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go, as it were, to the sea. But Silas and Timothy abode there still.
Now, see what happened here? These guys show up first at Thessalonica. Okay. When they show up, these guys at first they start to accept the gospel, but then there were certain dudes there. Well, we can't accept this. Well, no, they're not. We don't expect everybody to accept the gospel. There's some people just ain't going to. So what they do, they start an uproar trying to say, well, they're trying to preach that we're not supposed to follow Caesar, who's the king, because there's another king. Well, yeah, Jesus is another king, but not of this world. Not on a planet Earth. Jesus had his kingdom in heaven. They weren't getting it. Okay? So, these guys raising a stink that smelled worse than any sewer that was open, they're trying to get these guys arrested. So, what do? They get Paul, and they get him out by night. And they get him out of there, him and the other fellow. And they get him out, sneak him out of there, and they head over to Berea. Now, when they get to Berea, now the Berean Christians, they were more noble. Why were they? Because they had open minds in this. They were willing to listen, and they opened their Bibles, and they started to read and study what they were taught. And it was like the apostles would come in, they into the synagogue. They told them what the gospel was, and then these people would say, "Oh, really? Okay. Now, we'll tell you what, guys. Now, can you imagine telling the apostles this? Okay, thanks for telling us. Now, you go down to the local hotel there. You go take a nap. We got to check this out." So they went and searched out the scriptures. And then they come back the next day, and they said, "Okay, everything checks out so far. Now, tell us some more." And so they go in and they reason with them a little more, and then they say, "Okay, now you go back down to the hotel. We got to check out some more." And they keep doing this day after day after day after day. And that's why Paul said of them, they were more honorable because they searched the scriptures, what? Not once a year, not once a month, but daily, to see if those things they were being taught were so. And they didn't get all huffy and mad and, "Oh, well, no." They said, "I want to see if what I'm being taught is right. Is it the traditions of man? Or is it really God's word?" Well, that's what this program is all about. It's about finding out what God's word has to say on a subject, as we did with marriage and sex. We found out what God's word had to say on there, and there were some very revealing things that we found out. Even some subjects that most churches never, most preachers never actually bring to the pulpit. Now, as we get ready, starting next week, as we start to delve actually into it, some people are going to say, "Well, you're hitting some subjects that, well, I already know what that means to do." Well, do you really know what it means to give? What the meaning of giving is? Or are you going off of what you've been taught for 100 years? Because when words lose their meanings, people lose their way. Remember, we've got kids that say cool today, but it's not in reference to the temperature of your freezer. Okay? So my point being, when words lose their meaning, people lose their way. Are we with the same understanding of what a gift is as referred to in the Bible? So we're going to find out what really a gift is, what it means to give, what it is when someone gave. We're going to find out. We're going to find out what it really means by studying the Bible from cover to cover, top to bottom, from Genesis to Revelation. Every single book, and in all honesty, we will be just about touching every book of the Bible when we're done to find out what the Bible has to say on tithing, giving, and offerings. Right here on the Six Eyes Radio Network here with the Talk with Missionary Wolfgang. All right. Now, Mikhail, do we have any new listeners for tonight that would like to answer our question? Because if not, we'll get into our closing prayer and our question for next week.
No, no one has called in, so you can go ahead and wrap it up.
Okay. All right. Well, then that's what we'll do. All right. All right. Now, the question for this coming week I'll give right here in a sec as soon as we get a closing prayer in here. Lord Jesus, we want to thank you for another awesome program, and thank you, Lord, for holding the phone lines. I knew you could. I knew you are capable. You're more than able to even handle a lousy phone line. You're more stronger than that. So I knew that you could do that, and that's why I asked you at the beginning, Lord. So, Lord, we ask you now to bless now the study of your word. We thank you, Lord, that you inspired your word right down to the commas, the periods, the little accent marks, every bit of it, Lord. And we have to accept it for what you wrote and quit this nonsense of, well, it's better understood in this translation. We need to stand on one Bible and have it as a final authority instead of this jumping around. Lord Jesus, we ask you now, Lord Jesus, to help us to stand on your word as we study from Saturday to Saturday, as we study your word about tithing, giving, and offerings. Now, Lord, we ask you to touch each and every heart. We ask you to bless now as we get ready to go into tomorrow's program on Sunday. Bless each and every heart. And for that soul who is nearest hell, Lord, we ask you to touch their heart. Help them to reel up the white flag and surrender in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, and just in case anybody, as I mentioned earlier, at the beginning of the program, is interested in sending me along an idea for a future topic that we could get into a deep study on, you could email me at feelandtouchking@gmail.com. That you spell it out, feel like you're feeling something, F-E-E-L, the letter N as in Nancy, touch like you touch something with your fingers, T-O-U-C-H. And then king, like the guy who wears a crown, K-I-N-G, at gmail.com. In the subject line, just say suggested topic for Talk with Missionary Wolfgang program. And then in the message itself, just give me the subject that you would like to cover. And or if you have come to know Jesus as your Savior, let us know through that email as well. Also, if you would like to send a gift to the Six Eyes Radio Network to help keep programs like this on the air, once again, go to paypal.com, and while you're on there, enter the email address, sixeyes6@gmail.com. That is six, you spell it out, S-I-X, then eyes, like the two eyes in your head, E-Y-E-S, the digit number six, at gmail.com, and then any amount you wish to put in the box there to offer, no matter how big or small, is greatly appreciated, and we do thank you. All right, now, for our final question, and we'll have Nikhil, you know the song that me and Emmy like, so I'd appreciate that as a closing song to get us out of here, as we end with this question, which will be for next week. If it came down to the choice, if you, let's say someone was holding a gun to your head, okay? And they said, okay, if it came down to the choice, you standing for God's word or sucking up to your family, friends, whatever, and you just backing down and going with the crowd and going with some sort of tradition or whatever, what would be your choice? That's the question for next week. I want you to think on that. I want you to think on that. If you were given the choice at, let's say, gunpoint or whatever, if it came down to your life, which choice would you be making? God's word or following a tradition of man? All right. So, Nikhil, you want to take us on out of here with that song that me and Emmy like? I'd appreciate that. And I'll catch you all tomorrow at noon on the Sunday Gospel Show. Amen.
Might be great. Jesus.